International.
Russia's intelligence agencies. Going feral. Vladimir Putin's everything everywhere all at once strategy of assassination, arson, sabotage and hacking against the West.
We've seen arson, sabotage and more dangerous actions conducted with increasing recklessness, warned Ken McCallum, the head of MI5, Britain's domestic security and counterintelligence agency, of the threat posed by Russia and the GRU, its military intelligence agency. The GRU in particular is on a sustained mission to generate mayhem on British and European streets, he said on October 8th. Other European intelligence agencies are equally concerned. On October 14th, Bruno Kahl, Germany's spy chief, said that Russia's covert measures had reached a level previously unseen. Thomas Haldenwang, the head of Germany's domestic intelligence services, told lawmakers that an act of sabotage had almost caused a plane to crash early this year, as he warned that aggressive behaviour by Russian spies was putting lives at risk. Russia's war in Ukraine has been accompanied by a crescendo of aggression, subversion, and meddling elsewhere. In particular, Russian sabotage in Europe has grown dramatically. We see acts of sabotage happening in Europe now, Vice Admiral Nils Andreas Stensønes, the head of the Norwegian Intelligence Service, said in September. Sir Richard Moore, the chief of MI6, Britain's foreign intelligence agency, put it more bluntly, Russian intelligence services have gone a bit feral, frankly. The Kremlin's men have squeezed the West out of several African states. Its hackers, Poland's security services said, have tried to paralyze the country in the political, military and economic spheres. Russia's propagandists have pumped disinformation around the world. Its armed forces want to put a nuclear weapon in orbit. Russian foreign policy has long dabbled in chaos. Now it seems to aim at little else. Start with the summer of sabotage. In April, Germany arrested two German-Russian nationals on suspicion of plotting attacks on American military facilities and other targets on behalf of the GRU. The same month, Poland arrested a man who was preparing to pass the GRU information on Rzeszów Airport, a hub for arms to Ukraine, and Britain charged several men over an arson attack on a Ukrainian-owned logistics firm in London. The men were accused of aiding the Wagner Group, a mercenary outfit now under the GRU's control. In June, France arrested a Russian-Ukrainian who was wounded after attempting to make a bomb in his hotel room in Paris. In July, it emerged that Russia had plotted to kill Armin Papperger, the boss of Rheinmetall, Germany's largest arms firm. On September 9th, air traffic at Stockholm's Arlanda airport was shut down for more than 2 hours after drones were spotted over runways. We suspect it was a deliberate act, a police spokesman said. American officials warn that Russian vessels are reconnoitering underwater cables. Even where Russia has not resorted to violence, it has sought to stir the pot in other ways. The Baltic states have arrested a number of people for what they say are Russian-sponsored provocations. French intelligence officials claim that Russia was responsible for the appearance of coffins draped with the French flag and bearing the message "French soldiers of Ukraine" left at the Eiffel Tower in Paris in June. Many of these actions are aimed at fanning opposition to aid for Ukraine, but others are intended simply to widen splits in society of all kinds, even if these have little or no link to the war. France says that Russia was also behind the graffiti of 250 Stars of David on walls in Paris in November, an effort to fuel anti-Semitism, which has surged since the start of the Israel-Hamas conflict. Much of Russia's activity has been virtual. In April, hackers with ties to the GRU seem to have manipulated control systems for water plants in America and Poland. In September, America, Britain, Ukraine and several other countries published details of cyber attacks by the GRU's Unit 29155, a group that was previously known for assassinations in Europe, including a botched effort to poison Sergei Skripal, a former Russian intelligence officer. The GRU's cyber efforts, which had been ongoing since at least 2020, were not just aimed at espionage, but also a reputational harm by stealing and leaking information and systematic sabotage by destroying data, according to America and its allies. Beyond Europe, GRU officers have been in Yemen alongside the Houthis, a rebel group that has attacked ships in the Red Sea, ostensibly in solidarity with Palestinians. Russia, angered by America's provision of long-range missiles to Ukraine, came close to providing weapons to the group in July, CNN reported, but reversed course after strong opposition from Saudi Arabia. The fact that Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, was willing to alienate Mohammed bin Salman, the kingdom's de facto ruler, whom he has courted for years, is an indication of how Russia's war has cannibalized its wider foreign policy. What Putin is trying to do is hit us all over the place, argues Fiona Hill, who previously served as the top Russia official in America's National Security Council. She compares the strategy to the Oscar-winning film Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. In Africa, for instance, Russia has used mercenaries to supplant French and American influence in the aftermath of coups in Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. Russia's meddling in America takes a very different form. In May, Avril Haines, America's Director of National Intelligence, called Russia the most active foreign threat to our elections above China or Iran. This was not merely about trying to shape America's policy on Ukraine. Moscow most likely views such operations as a means to tear down the United States as its perceived primary adversary, she said, enabling Russia to promote itself as a great power. In July, American intelligence agencies said that they were beginning to see Russia target specific voter demographics, promote divisive narratives, and denigrate specific politicians. These efforts are generally crude and ineffectual, but they are prolific, intense, and sometimes innovative. In September, America's Justice Department accused two employees of RT, a Kremlin-controlled media outlet that regularly spews out Russian talking points and lurid conspiracy theories, of paying $10 million to an unnamed media company in Tennessee. The firm, thought to be Tenet Media, posted nearly 2,000 videos on TikTok, Instagram, X, and YouTube. Commentators paid by the company denied wrongdoing. The department also seized 32 Kremlin-controlled internet domains designed to mimic legitimate news sites. Russian propagandists are also experimenting with technology. CopyCop, a network of websites, took legitimate news articles and used ChatGPT, an AI model, to rewrite them. More than 90 French articles were modified with the prompt, "Please rewrite this article, taking a conservative stance against the liberal policies of the Macron administration in favour of working-class French citizens." Another rewritten piece included evidence of its instructions, saying, "This article highlights the cynical tone towards the US government, NATO, and US politicians." Russian disinformation campaigns are hardly new, acknowledges Sergei Rodchenko, a historian of Russian foreign policy, pointing to episodes such as the Tanaka Memorandum, an alleged Soviet forgery that was used to discredit Japan in 1927. Nor are proxy wars or assassinations a novelty. Soviet troops were already fighting in Yemen, disguised as Egyptians, in the early 1960s, he notes. The KGB's predecessors and successors have killed many people abroad, from Leon Trotsky to ex-spy Alexander Litvinenko. The genuinely new part, says Mr. Rodchenko, is that whereas previously special operations supported foreign policy, today special operations are foreign policy. 10 years ago, the Kremlin worked with America and Europe to counter Iran and North Korea's nuclear program. Such cooperation is now fanciful. It is as if the Russians no longer feel they have a stake in preserving anything of the post-war international order, says Mr. Rachenko. This period reminds him more of Mao's nihilistic foreign policy during China's Cultural Revolution than the Soviet Union's Cold War thinking, which included periods of pragmatism and caution. Ms. Hill puts it another way, it's Trotsky over Lenin. Mr. Putin embraces these ideas. We are in for probably the most dangerous, unpredictable, and at the same time most important decade since the end of World War II, he said in late 2022. To cite a classic, he added, invoking an article by Vladimir Lenin in 1913, this is a revolutionary situation. That belief that the post-war order is rotten and needs rewriting by force, if necessary, also gives Russia common cause with China. Right now, there are changes the likes of which we haven't seen for 100 years, Xi Jinping told Mr. Putin last year in Moscow, and we are the ones driving these changes together. Russia's foreign policy strategy, published in 2023, offers the bland reassurance that it does not consider itself an enemy of the West and has no ill intentions. A classified addendum acquired by the Washington Post from a European intelligence service suggests otherwise. It proposes a comprehensive containment strategy against a coalition of unfriendly countries led by America. That includes an offensive information campaign, among other actions, in the military, political, trade, economic, and informational psychological spheres. The ultimate aim, it notes, is to weaken Russia's opponents. This does not mean Russia is unstoppable. It is increasingly a junior partner to China. Its influence has slipped in some countries, such as Syria. It does not always back up its own proxies. Dozens of Wagner fighters were killed in an ambush by Malian rebels aided by Ukraine in July. And Russian subversion can be disrupted, says Sir Richard, by good old-fashioned security and intelligence work to identify the intelligence officers and criminal proxies behind it. The fact that Russia is increasingly reliant on criminals to carry out these acts, in part because Russian spies have been expelled en masse from Europe, is a sign of desperation. Russia's use of proxies further reduces the professionalism of their operations, and, absent diplomatic immunity, increases our disruptive options, says Mr. McCallum. Russian meddling is intended to put pressure on NATO without provoking war. We also have red lines, says Ms. Hill, and Putin is trying to feel those out. But if he is truly driven by a revolutionary spirit, convinced that the West is a rotten edifice, that suggests more lines will be crossed in the months and years ahead.